morepower.com, and I'm here with writers Koshik and Levation, and we're going to talk about everyone's favorite, I guess, mecha show. I don't know. I mean, it's, well, whatever. It's Code Geass. I mean, pretty much, it's universally loved for unknown for reasons beyond me. But so yeah, we're here to kind of break it down, and I think Levation and I will be kind of on the attack, and poor Koshik is going to be on the defensive,
I'll try.
trying to defend the merits of the show. But okay, so just to kick it off, I guess, Levation, what are your general thoughts about Code Geass? You know, this amazing show, according to everyone who watches anime.
I'm going to parrot the minority opinion and say it's a train wreck.
Majority, right?
You know, I honestly think that that opinion has actually grown over the years as more people have like I'm actually seeing a lot more quote unquote haters of Code Geass nowadays as compared to like a maybe when it first came out back in 2007, 2008, and a little after that. I think it's gone a little bit more what's the word? People despise it more. I think it's just like, after all these years it's been out, more people have watched it and more people are trying to see what's the hype about. But I'm in the same boat as Levation. I don't particularly enjoy it too much. So that's my general opinion of it. I also think it's a mess of a show, especially season two. But okay, so yeah, that's just my opinion. What about you, Koshik? Since you're the lone defender, obviously, of Code Geass.
Right. Well, I'm not going to say that it was perfect because it definitely wasn't. And I agree with what you said that season two is definitely where it went downhill. But I think season one was actually pretty strong. And there are parts of season two that are still okay. But I think a lot of the directions the plot was going, they couldn't reel them all into like one cohesive line. And that's why I think season two splintered really poorly. But even still, overall, I think it was pretty okay. I think season one's still like really strong by itself. Yeah.
Okay. I guess like I mean to bounce off that, like I will say, and I think Levation agrees with me, that's it's a very entertaining show. You know,
Yes.
that you can't take that away. It's like a I compare it to whenever I get in a debate with someone over Code Geass and its merit, I compare it to a lot of like comic book movies. You know, a lot of them are very entertaining,
Right.
but I wouldn't consider them many of them actually like great movies, just like judging it as a film itself. So you know, they're popcorn flicks. They come out in the summer and you know they sell tickets because people want to be entertained. That's like Code Geass. But so okay, let's just start, I guess, you know, with season one, and let's kind of break it down starting with season one, like the you know the how it begins. So I will go ahead and say that, you know, I was after watching a couple episodes of season one, I was pretty hooked because it is entertaining.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, I think, but for me, it's really started going. I didn't think I think season one is better than season two by far, but season one had a lot of flaws, especially in its later half of the show. And for me, when it started going downhill, was the whole Shirley thing with Lelouch and how he like, you know, erased her memories. Like that to me, that was the beginning of the end for me there. I was just like, it was nonsensical, and it was just like, why? It was just like, I feel like the writers did it just to make force some drama into the show, because that was completely unnecessary. It's just like I could think of like five other ways he could have done it that wouldn't have involved like him like completely erasing everything she knew about him. You know what I mean? So, what do you think about that? What do you think about the whole Shirley thing? Because that was a big part of season one. Like how.
I think the reason they used the Shirley thing the way they did is because for a long part of the show, Lelouch was kind of seen as like, I guess I don't want to say unsympathetic, but kind of like that, where he's like a character that would do anything to get what he wanted to do or get what he wanted basically. And they brought in Shirley and her entire character arc just to show that, there's some sacrifices, there's some consequences to the actions he takes. And I think that was the whole point of that. Whether it was well ex I mean, I don't think it was poorly executed. I just dislike Shirley as a character, so that's not my favorite part of the show. But I understand the point to it, and I see why they did it.
So,
What about you, Lation? You have an opinion on this?
well, to be honest, when I think of season one, I actually enjoyed a lot of it, and I thought it was mostly solid, and I did have problems with it, but strangely enough, all the Shirley stuff isn't the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, that
Well,
okay.
I'm sure you'd agree with me, but the two biggest problems I had with season one were with Yuffie and with Mao.
Okay.
Everybody probably knows about the Yuffie moment,
Right. Well, I mean,
but
this is gonna contain spoilers,
yes.
this
But let me get into the Mao
podcast.
moment for a second. I think what some of the things they did with Mao was like really contradictory with how they set up the rest of the universe.
In what
Like,
respect?
well, I'm going to spoil a bit about Mao, but at one point in the series, the main character Lelouch and Mao are, they're very similar because they both possess gyasas, and they
Right.
both are associates. Well, Mao is a former associate of C2, who is Lelouch's current associate. So at one point they were fighting each other, and Lelouch got the upper hand and well got a bunch of people to shoot Mao, right? And the next time Mao shows up, he claims that Britannian medicine saved him. When we saw him get riddled by bullets.
Britannia medicine's pretty powerful, man.
Yeah. Now,
Is
throughout
that
the rest of the series, however, people who get shot aren't so lucky. In fact, when it comes to Code Geass, I've developed a theory that of the inverse bullet ratio, where the fewer times you get shot, the least likely you are to survive.
maybe that's how the Britannian medicine works. It's
Yeah, okay.
pretty amazing. I mean, you can't really defend like obvious plot holes like that. I mean, as for like Mao's character, I think giving him so many episodes was a mistake. I think the point of his character was to show that Geass isn't really a singular power, and that it's been going on for a long time because Mao mitts.
And I, sorry to interject real quick, but I think it was also to show like what can happen to you, like if
Get consumed by the Geass.
yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I guess there's like a large goal they had with the Mao arc, and I see that. I can't really, it's gonna sound really dumb that there's a lot of parts where I can't really defend their execution of it, but I can see why they did it and what it contributes to the storyline as a whole. So I think the Mao arc is one of those things where it kind of went on too long, and I mean, there are some plot holes here and there, but the point of it got across. And I think that point contributed to the
Well,
overall plot of the series.
I don't mind when Mao first got introduced. I thought it was an interesting counterpoint to Lelouch and kind of see like what can happen to you, like as you said, get consumed by the Geass. And he was actually the one who like caused Lelouch to erase Shirley's memories in the first place. But just going back real quick to Shirley, that like and just to address Lovation, that my point about Shirley was that's when it started going downhill for me as a show. Like that execution of that. Although and Mao getting revived magically, that was in the second half as well. That happened later. But the other thing with Shirley is just like, Lelouch, and this is very evident in season two even more so. How many times do we have to be told that he's like a super genius and he knows like everything, and then he makes the dumbest decisions that are like so juvenile that like I'm sorry, like if you're a genius. Like, you would think to yourself that, like, why would you make the worst possible decision if you're supposedly, this guy who can, predict and see everything and not everything, but I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, that this Shirley thing, I'm just gonna erase your memories, even though there's a million better ways to do this. But,
Well, that also speaks to the intelligence of the other characters in the show at the same time.
I mean, I guess, but I mean, Jack Woe, our
Or lack of it,
mascot.
rather.
I remember a very distinct conversation with Jack Woe, and who is our mascot, and he says, "Well, geniuses act like that. They act arrogant." I'm like, "Jack, what do you mean geniuses act?" And he goes, "Well, I'm kind of a genius, so I'm." It was the stupidest argument because no, what it came down to was This is a fallacy that a lot of people make. It's the argument that, well, it happened to me, so, and therefore everyone who's like me or in this situation will do the exact, you know that argument,
Is
right?
there a specific name for that?
I'm sure there is, but I think it's a you can go to the you can go you just type in list of fallacies on Google. I'm sure it's one of them. I mean, you got straw man, you got red herring, there's a bunch of them, but that's definitely a fallacy. It's just like injecting your own per you cannot project what everyone will do based on your small sample size, you know what I mean? Like, just because it happened to you. And that was Jack's argument, and
Wait,
he's like, oh,
anecdotal maybe?
yeah, something like that.
anecdotal. Yeah, that sounds very familiar, but
Well, anyway.
that's my point. But going to the like and so I'm like, why would he make this dumb decision? And like I said, you see those dumb decisions happen more in season two, but that was the very first dumb decision I saw him make. And I realize he's not perfect, but I mean, it's just like, if you really want me us to believe that this guy is like, I mean, like, he's human, he's faults, but I mean, that's the worst way to do it. It's just like you is two extremes. A, he's super smart and he can like just take out an entire, unit of military with just like, a drop of a hat. But at the same time, he's gonna make the worst decision in the book. You know what I mean? Of the laundry list of things that could be better, he chooses the worst one. You can make a kind of a better balance. I mean, you don't have to go to so extreme. So, and then that's what the, that was my point about the Shirley thing. And then we already addressed Mal getting magically brought to life. I mean, I think that's another thing where I think the writers wanted to inject forced drama into the show, is by like, what could we do? Oh, let's bring back this character that we did kill, but we want to bring him back anyways. Let's just do it. I mean, because that's what happened with Jeremiah Gottwald. He was supposed to be permanently killed,
But everyone loved him.
Exactly. So the writers are just like, oh, let's just bring him back for the kicks and giggles because fans like him.
Well,
I mean,
that's
that.
kind of like Gundam Seed syndrome, I guess.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Writers should not do what the fans want. They should do what they want, okay? And it's just like, that was with Jeremiah, but seriously, with the Mal getting brought back to life, that was just, I think, them just trying to inject more forced drama into the show when they ran out of ideas. Because the whole purpose of him getting brought back was, he kidnapped what's her face, the dumb sister,
Yeah.
and
Annalie?
it forced Lelouch and Spin Zaku to work together to get her
Yeah, the
back.
entire point of that
Oh,
was
that's also when
to get
Spinzaku
together.
was born, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
good times. Okay, well, I'll address just one point right now. The whole thing with Shirley, you say that he's like a genius and he shouldn't make these obvious faults or whatever. And the only defense I'm going to make of that decision is that, comparatively to like his tactical decisions, I would say that decision's way more emotionally charged than most of the other like decisions he made up to that point. And the mistakes or perceived mistakes or what have you, I think can be attributed somewhat to the fact that he wasn't, thinking everything through at the time, or he was thinking with another head, I guess, is the way I'll put it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, then we can just bring up Libation's second big fault, which is also one, the whole Euphemia fiasco,
Right.
when he accidentally gyasses her. I mean, that was the worst scenario, one of the worst scenarios in anime I've ever witnessed in my entire life. I swear to God, the writers were just like, took the day off that day and were like, what can we, let's just do something easy. Oh, he accidentally gyasses her. There you go, problem
We need a second
solved.
season, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on. What do you have to say about that, Koshi? Come on, that whole thing is just like, yeah, it's not like I was going to tell you to kill all the, Japanese, and then bam, she's Gyas. I mean, come on. I mean,
Okay, well, let's see, how do I start with this? Okay, I think the writers at that point were looking for something that gave a lot of shock value, and that was it. I think that was the decision they came to. I think they probably already planned a second season by that point. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I would not be surprised if that was already the case. I don't know how planned, that whole scene was. I wouldn't be surprised if it was even still. But as far as Lelouch's decision in that scene, it's pretty stupid. I mean, like, the way they went about it was pretty dumb. I feel like maybe there was some other thing they could have done. Bring in some character from season two that could have, caused it or something. But
I mean, I don't know why they just didn't use V2 there in that
yeah,
scenario.
exactly. There's a lot of different ways they could have gone about it, and I think they picked one of the worst ways, but I guess it was one of those necessary things that had to happen to create
I mean, but doesn't
the
that speak
status.
to the poor writing of the show that I've been, like mentioning? Like, just the writers are, pretty subpar. I mean, it's just
Incidentally,
like.
Euphemia died and she got only shot once.
Surprise, surprise. But, how do I.
So much for Britannia and medicine, I suppose.
Well, it's the inverse law of bullets.
Yeah.
Okay. I see your point in that the ex. And I guess you've been getting me on all these points where the execute. Like, I didn't have a fault with the overall story, but the execution of the points they're trying to push was pretty flawed in a lot of areas. And I think you're right that Lelouch's decision, especially in this moment, was made very, very little sense. And I can't really defend it. I think it's really dumb. I just think that's the vehicle they chose to do it, and it may not have been the best one, but the series went on with that.
Well, I mean, a lot of the funny thing is a lot of fans love that decision. They think it's like, it was a perfect execution, a brilliant way to like, I mean, that's just like poor writing. Come on.
I think,
That's not brilliance right there. That's just poor
I mean,
writing.
they had the reason it happened was the fact that Lelouch's gear somehow became always on or whatever. It's just the way he said what he said and like how specific he made it. It was just so dumb. Like you couldn't take it seriously. It, but.
I mean, the best part of that whole damn series of episodes was just Euphemia with a machine gun gunning down the
Covered
Japanese. I mean,
in.
I got a kick out of that. I mean, it was.
Yeah, it was a lot of shock value involved there. For sure.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know, but that's the, I guess, the two big, or for for me, I had three big problems with season one, and they all coincidentally happened toward the later half of the series. And Greg only had two, but I'll bring up Shirley more, especially since she's more prevalent in season two. But seriously, I'm very sympathetic towards Shirley as a character, just because she went through living hell the entire, for like literally majority of the series, and yeah, she just gets the short end of the stick all the time. But anyways, is there anything else about season one that, maybe could she bring up something about season one that you thought was done really well? For
Okay.
example, since we're just saying that everything's been done poorly so far.
Okay, so things I actually really liked about season one. I don't know how far you want to get into the characters. I think there are some really strong characters in Code Geass. For example, I think Callan is a strong, like a really strong example of a female character. I really enjoyed her for most of the show. I think I know your problem with the series is mostly the later half. I think the start of the series is really, really strong, and there'd be very few people I think that wouldn't be hooked by the first couple of episodes. And from there, I think a lot of people, this is not really like a defense of the series or anything, but I know a lot of people that like once they start like watching something, they kind of force themselves to finish it. And I think Code Geass is a lot of people shows that they force themselves to finish, especially with the onset of season two. One thing I thought they did somewhat well. I don't really like the fact that they put such a strong cliffhanger at the end of season one for the start of season two. I don't think it worked out really well because the distance of time between the two seasons kind of killed some hype. But yeah, I guess for strong things, I think it had a really strong opening and. For the most part, I think the self-contained plots in season one were strong, and they helped convey a point that I think carried on, or they each contained an individual point that I think was important for the characters moving on through the series. And I guess the last point I want to bring is there are some parts of the plot that I may not agree with, but I still think the characters are pretty strong in Code Geass, and I enjoy them significantly.
I for the most part I wouldn't disagree with you. I don't think Lelouch is a very good protagonist, to be honest. I don't think he's a very good character, to be honest. With characters, for the most part, unless you have to like them to be if you don't like the character, then you're not gonna like the show. So I mean, I didn't like Lelouch, so maybe that, and that really helped, hindered my just overall like ranking the show really high. I rank it high in entertainment value, but I enjoyed Colin. I also enjoyed Ogi
Yeah.
in season one. He got shafted big time in season two. Well, most of the characters got shafted in season two. I liked the Japanese guy who was Suzaku's like
Oh,
mentor,
Toto.
Toto,
Yeah.
him. He was such a good character. I thought there was so much potential with him in season two, but obviously not. And I really liked C2 as well. I thought she was a really, really interesting character.
Yeah.
Suzaku, he was supposed to be the guy everyone hated anyways, so like we're not gonna talk about him. He's supposed to be the object everyone's hatred, and Lelouch is supposed to be like the sympathetic one, which everyone likes. I mean, I didn't like either of them, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, like to your point about starting strong, it's just another perfect example why this show is one of the biggest gateway shows for more recent anime fans. As we pointed out, and like I think we talked about this in the Gundam Unicorn podcast, but like Code Geass, Sword Art Online, Madoka, Attack on Titan, these are all very popular shows that are supposed to hook you within the first couple of episodes, and they got all really high production values. But I mean, all four of those shows and a couple more I can name, when you break them down critically, they're all very subpar and just a mess. But I will give you, it did start really strong, that's for sure.
And
So
even though I think there are some execution faults, I mean, for example, the Yuffie incident, I appreciated the shock value in it, and I see like what they're trying to do. They're trying to create more rifts in this show because they didn't just want to have everything, bundle up peacefully at the end there. The execution of that obviously is somewhat flawed, but I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was.
okay, I think Lovation, unless you wanted to, or Greg, unless you wanted to say anything else, we can move on to season two,
No,
which
I
is the
think I said
juicy
everything I
stuff.
wanted to say about season one.
So, all right. Okay,
Yeah,
so do you want to lead
so
us off with season two then? So, okay, what are your big things, like big points about season two that you
well,
think
there's
should be
one point
addressed or brought
I
up or
think.
discussed?
Well, let's talk about how it started, actually.
Right.
So, season two, obviously. No, not only that, but it didn't seem like a natural
Started
start
slow,
to
extremely
just
slow.
con not conclusion, continuation of the first season. In fact, it felt like it kind of retreaded the first season for a while.
I would agree that the first couple of episodes, I think they're trying to go for some sort of reset, I guess, and try to like it, I think it
Well,
was
there was some executive meddling in that. Like, they had to move their time slot and all, so they had to get people like new fans caught up and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I assumed it was for, because I
I
guess
mean,
since the different like the time span between the end of the first season and the beginning of the second season, they just wanted to incorporate as many people as they can. So they started it off a lot slower than you would expect given the cliffhanger of the first season.
it's a little unfortunate though, 'cause
Yeah, I
there were
agree.
some plot there were some plot points that they wanted to bring up that they had to drop ultimately.
Can you give any examples of that?
Well, I think the only one I can remember is like Suzaku's relation with the Giyas.
Right.
Like it was hinted in season one, I believe. I forgot where. And it was also supposed to be how they explained some stupid stuff like what was it? Spinzaku and all that. But that
Okay.
ultimately got dropped.
I see. So he was supposed to have some connection to the whole Geass thing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I mean, it's hard to comment on things that never happened, so.
Exactly,
You
yeah.
think, yeah.
But I mean, I think it'd add a bit more legitimacy to some of the ridiculous stuff
Yeah, and
in
I
the
think
series.
that's one of the first major complaints I hear a lot, and I somewhat agree with, is that the way they incorporated all of the plot lines together by the end of season two was incredibly poor. And besides just skipping some things, they just, I don't know, I think they did a really awful job of bringing things together, or they didn't even try in some cases. And then the things they did bring together felt really half-assed. Like it all happened near the end of the series, and it felt pretty haphazardly done.
Okay, so yeah, let's wait. That's a good point. We can talk about that, I guess, when it gets there. So, like, anything else about the beginning, though, how it started? I just want to like wrap that up real quick before we kind of like
Right.
move on into other territory. You know what I mean? So, about the start, I guess. I mean, is there anything else? I mean, I have an opinion of it. I don't want to say too much. It's just, yeah, you guys said most of it. They retreaded a lot. I felt really slow start. It kind of was boring, to be honest, because they went back to the whole school thing. I mean, they went back to school, and it's just like, all that tension that you felt at by the end of the season one just like kind of
Yeah, and the
disappeared.
best
It's just
reason
like,
I can give for that
oh
is they
well, you
wanted to
know.
incorporate newer fans to the series because I guess after the end of season one, it was becoming so much of a hit that they wanted to bring in as many people as they could to it. And so they gave it the slower start. They introduced the new character Rolo, who they took out quickly, but I think it was just to
Oh my
show,
God.
well, the fact that Rolo was like a traitor of some sorts, it was to show that the show kind of would turn your impressions on its head. Like, I guess new people would assume that Rolo was something of a good character. And so the fact that they made him a traitor kind of showed something of a hallmark of the show where not everyone's good or not everyone's what they seem. And then, shit, I had another point, but I completely forgot it.
I mean, just going on to introducing new fans, it's just like, that's just pandering, okay? I mean, like, if you have a work that you really are dedicated to, then you owe it to yourself to like see your vision through. This is just like the whole thing. They introduced so many new characters that the old ones got shafted. The old ones that a lot of people that were actually some strong characters that had potential to be even stronger, or that potential to go places. You never saw them go anywhere. They were stock characters that were just, more, they were just kind of background noise. I mean, look, for example, you introduced Rolo, the worst character in Code Geass by far. Then you introduced all those Knights of the Round. I mean, like, the pink haired girl, what's her face? I forgot her name. Anya, and then the pretty boy
I think
guy who was just annoying as fuck. I mean, God, that guy was just obnoxious. And not to mention, you introduced all the Chinese people. You threw that random ass Chinese arc, and then you had the Valletta. She was part of season one, but I mean, she got like a way, she was way more involved in season two. And speaking of Valletta, because it's just reminding me, season two had a influx of unnecessary fan service that kind of just really just
I mean,
How
the
many
beginning
times did Colin, like, appear like half naked or just
yeah,
like
the beginning of
a
season
screenshot of
one,
her
like, she was in a
ass or
bunny
something like
suit,
that? It's just
so
like,
that's pretty much setting the tone right there.
why, you know?
One thing that I thought was really disappointing about season two, and I think this goes a little bit back to season one, they introduced all these characters, like, as part of the Japanese resistance in season one, particularly Toto and Kaguya, and then they kind of like disappeared in season two, and I thought they could have been really strong characters and really strong representatives of Japan along with Suzaku for season two, and Japan kind of fell by the wayside, and I was kind of disappointed by that.
Yeah, that whole big plot
I
point
guess
of, Japan, you're
the
absolutely
reason for
right,
that is
was thrown out the window.
they wanted to move the plot in a much grander scale, and I guess Japan fell by the wayside. It became more about the whole Geass thing and then Lelouch versus the Emperor, and all those small border conflicts or whatever fell to the wayside. Personally, I'm disappointed by that, but
No, because those were the most interesting things. I mean, what I
right.
mean,
I
when you
agree. I
turn the
think
show
the
into a
personal
generic
conflicts
superpower
there,
versus
and I
superpower,
guess
becomes boring.
you can relate a lot more to the conflicts like Japan losing its sovereignty or something like that versus the Emperor being some magical being and Lelouch has to fight him to save the world or whatever. So I think that was a loss for the show.
I mean, Greg, I mean, and Koshik, you guys should know this very well. This reeks of, Gundam Seed syndrome. It's just like it's just these who can build a bigger super weapon faster and who could build the next better Gundam with more lasers faster, and we're just gonna throw them at each other and see what happens. I mean, all those small interesting skirmishes and battles that involve tactics just was thrown out the window in favor of flying mechs that have like a gazillion lasers or an Colin's case can go at like Mach speed and take out like 50 suits in less than a second, just like flying around at the speed of light with magic wings. It's just like it's utterly ridiculous. And then Lelouch's suit, he just like presses his keyboard and like he can defend like a gazillion lasers, no problemo. And then you got the flail weapon with a crazy chick who is like a
Oh
lesbian
man.
for Euphemia. Let's just blow half the world to smithereens. And then you had Damocles, the fortress who could shoot
Oh yeah,
flails out. And then you had like I mean, come on. I mean, just turned into like it reminded me so much
I
of
don't know if
Gundam
anybody's
Seed, just beam
if
spam,
you
like
guys
giant
mentioned this,
armies,
but I
giant
also noticed that in
superpowers
like in
going up
season one,
butting
all
heads
the
and
nightmare friends did, they would have like roller skates and all that. And then in season two, they were all flying and stuff.
Well,
Yeah, they that set thing set it apart, but
I mean that's what made it interesting though is those rollerblades. Like the scenes and the animation of those battles was really something that caught my eye, and it's just when you switch to
I was
beam
just
spam
surprised that the
flying around at the
technology
speed of light,
actually,
it's just like, oh, here
progressed
we go
that quickly in the
again.
show.
Gundam Seed.
'Cause like Nightmare Frames have been around for a while in
Yeah, it is
Code
a good
Geass,
point. I
right?
mean, apparently,
Nightmare Frames, they use like the Sutherlands and stuff. I believe those are fourth, either third or fourth generation Nightmare Frames. And then like stuff like the Lancelot's supposed to be fifth. And then
Yeah,
they
but
have.
even the old Lancelot wasn't able to, didn't have the technology that you
Yeah,
could find on
it
everything in season
was,
two.
only fifth generation Nightmare Frames that could fly. The only problem with that is that you had like these flying Nightmare Frames, and then you had the Knights of the Round who apparently have had their Nightmare Frames forever, and they could fly. And no one seemed to bat an eyelash at that. I just thought
Well,
that was really funny.
oh yeah, speaking of the Knights of the Round.
Oh my God.
I mean, yeah, they're all
I
like
think, okay,
super
I think it
advanced
could have
pieces
been
of
really cool what they did.
technology.
I think there's a lot of lost potential there because they kept introducing so many characters into season two, and none of them really, yeah, none of them got enough development. I think if they focused, like, the whole thing with
That's what I
Anya,
keep saying, yeah.
I thought it was kind of dumb by the end, but I think if they like focused on Anya and maybe like a couple other characters, they could have made season two really strong if they like brought back some of season one's characters as well. They overloaded. I think they overloaded everything in that show. They just tried to make it flashy
They
and
just overloaded the
big
cast,
and
though.
expansive and it. Well, season two, it has some problems. I'll give a defense of what
You're
I
supposed to be
enjoyed in
defending
season
this. Come
two
on.
a
We're
little
sp
bit later if you want to work. There are things.
I hardly enjoyed anything in season two. From a critical standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, if I turned off my brain, yeah, it's just like, ooh, pretty lights, come on. I mean, Knights of the Round, I mean, there's this one scene where they're trying to attack Lelouch. It's when he becomes a new emperor. And, that Galahad, that dude who had the Geass, he leads that little mini revolt with all the rest of the knights. And then this one Knight of the Round gets introduced, and literally 1 second later, she blows up. 1 second later, she's just like, what's this? It's moving so fast. And she gets blasted and dies. And it's just like, what was the point of introducing this character in the first place? Why? It's just like, and there's this big joke running in the,
Oh yeah.
for people who don't like Code Geass about, that one dude, he
Right.
was a servant of Cornelia, the princess. He had like those six adopted sons or whatever. And then like they randomly appear at times in season two, and one of them dies in the battle of to the second battle of Tokyo, and he's like, what was his name again? And one of the brother goes, Jason or something like that, and everyone's just like, who? It's just like, who? Like,
I actually
oh,
completely forgot
him,
about
that
this
guy that is
kid
so
until now.
insignificant, it's just like, I mean, why? Like, no one cares about those characters. Exact. I mean, that the only reason I remember is like, it's such a there's too many unnecessary fluff in that show that's just like, what? There's no point in introducing any of them. It's just
Yeah,
like,
sorry.
just stop, okay? I mean,
Yeah,
they even got the freaking maid of
she was
Lelouch.
like
They
a
gave her
ninja
like
for the
more screen
entire
time in
show for
season
some
two.
reason.
Like, she went ninja mode in that. She was like a shinobi or something, like straight off
They
Naruto.
didn't make her to the ninja crowd yet.
I know, it's mind-boggling. It's just like, why? She's throwing kunai. It's just like, We can't forget about like Lelouch's classmates, like Rivels and the president or whatever her name was. It's just like, how she like they tried, giving
Well,
her
nothing
screen
really.
time by like making her the fiance of like Pudding Earl. Like that, I
I
mean,
still to this
and
day do not know the point. I
the
don't remember
I
like
mentioned
why
this
they're
earlier,
in
but all the
China,
Chinese
what they were
characters they
doing in
introduced,
China,
I
why
mean.
China existed. I just don't get China and the whole scope of Code Geass.
Well, I will tell you though, like there are three sovereign powers in the world of Code Geass. It was like the Eastern European Union or something like that, which Code Geass, Akito the Exile descended. That one, there's Britannia and there's China. Those are the three big players. And they said that in season one. So, and Lelouch wanted China as an ally. That was his whole point of going there. So, for the Order of the Black Knights, like we need to get China on our side so we could because Schneisel finally crushes the European whatever at the beginning of season two. You see like this one scene where his armies are just like demolishing everything. So it's just like, so there's only two big players at the end. It's, Order of the Black Knights and Britannia. So that was the point of China. But still, it's just like they spent so much time in China. And this is the point, the pacing. The pacing of season two is terrible. Like you had like slow start. Let's go to China immediately after all this tension builds up in China. We get that episode where they're
Wait,
having the
someone with
school
a cat
fair
went
or
missing and
whatever.
everyone was like looking
Remember
for the
that
cat or
random ass
whatever.
episode plugged in between everything? It's just like, why? It's just like, I mean, yeah, no, it's also where like the president played that joke. No, I think this was earlier, but never mind. But there was one episode where you remember the president played that
Oh
joke on Lelouch
yeah.
and like he switched places with the maid, and the maid was impersonating Lelouch. They were all trying to get his hat or whatever. I
I
mean, the
think that was out of
unnecessary
place
episodes
early
like
on in
that, it's just
season
like, why?
one,
It kills the
but
pacing. It's just
by
like,
season
why?
two.
I mean, it's just like, there's no point in it. But, I mean, the point of, I'm trying to make is season two, there's supposed to be so much tension. And then they have these unnecessary, like, episodes where, like, oh, everything's cool and
I
dandy.
think
We're
that
just gonna go
leads into, or at
school
least
things,
from
make pizzas,
the
giant ass
cliffhanger from
pizzas.
season one, which
If
I
you
thought
remember,
was
that was
like,
the.
on one hand, I didn't like it because it took so long for season two to come out, but on another hand, it was a really strong cliffhanger. And once you see that, and then you get into season two, and they're trying to introduce a lot of new viewers, and then it just, the direction season two takes after that, it feels like it takes, another 10 or 15 episodes to like get back to where it should have been from the start.
I mean, yeah, that's just a clear lack of clear vision. That's just like a lack of clear vision and a lack of good writing. Because I mean, like, the script that just speaks loads about the script. It was just terrible. I mean, there's no other two ways about it. I mean, like, we haven't even. I mean, this is still scratching the surface of everything that's
There's a
wrong
reason
with
it's commonly
season
referred
two.
to
But I
as
mean,
a
it's just
train
like.
wreck.
I mean, yeah, I have no words to describe just. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's just too much to go over. I mean, we got to touch on Rollo real
Didn't
quick,
last
though. I mean,
that
that
long, I
guy,
guess.
that little fucker ruins my viewing experience. I'm not gonna lie. Oh, for a majority of season two,
Do much in the middle part, I guess.
he did last a long ass time. He lasted until like episode like 17 or something. Because remember, I mean, like he kills Shirley. I mean, which was really sad in my opinion, and then like. He gets too good of a death, okay? Like his death is too noble. Like Lelouch honors the fucker. He's just like, why? Like, why would you honor this piece of trash? Who cares? I mean, like, he's a terrible character and no one likes him. So I don't know.
I think
What do
Rollo
you
is
think?
kind
What
of
do you
like a
think,
wild
Drake? I mean,
card.
come on,
It's just
Rollo, I mean that
like
guy
he was just played
single-handedly
so
almost
the writers
ruined
could do
my
anything
viewing
they wanted.
experience for season two.
Like, but with, I don't know, it was just, he seemed like just like wasted potential and just like a general wrench in everything.
That's a good point.
Although I mean the characters in general, I really did not enjoy. Like I remember like one scene in
Yeah,
season two. where Schneisel just manages to convince everybody that oh hey, their former leader is actually an evil person, has been like using this secret superpower all this entire time, and they just believe him without without any like without any scrutiny.
I mean, yeah, it's just like it's just nonsense. Like, there's literally like character a big problem, which for me, and I know a lot of people, I've seen some write-ups and blogs or whatever. It's just that character motivation in season two doesn't matter. Everyone flip-flops every other second, like what they believe in. I'm Suzaku even, like that guy's like flip-flopping so much in season two. He's just like, all right, I just got to do this. Now I got to do this. Now I got to do this. And he's just like, I mean, why? I mean, it's just like, I mean, not why. It's just like it's stupid.
And then
I
I
mean,
noticed that
character
near the end of
motivation,
season
there is no
two, I
character
felt like
motivation. It's just like whatever, as you
Suzaku
said, the
and
writers
Collins
feel
were
like
sides
making the
like
characters do,
arbitrarily,
they'll make them do
just
it.
so that they could have two superpowers on opposing sides so they could fight each other. Yeah, like it
I mean,
was
yeah, I
really
think
convenient
Holland got
how
the least
like even
shafted of the
though
original season one
Suzaku and
cast,
Collins were always
but
fighting each other, like
still, I think she
even
fell up
though
short.
Suzaku switched allegiances, Collins also switched allegiances too at the very end.
It's a lot of nonsense. I mean, do you remember that like
Oh, yeah.
one scene where like you don't see Cornelia forever, and then she randomly ass appears, in
Oh,
that
and she
secret
gets
kiosk
shot, but
facility?
she
It's like,
survives,
where
but
the
she
hell
got
has she
shot multiple
been? It's just
times.
like, where was she? I mean, it's just like she just comes out of thin air, and then, I mean, it's just like why? And then like her knight or whatever, he randomly appears and he becomes like a pawn of Lelouch. Remember when he when I mean, it's just like, where did he come from? Like, why was he there in the first place? Like, why? I mean, he's so unnecessary. It's just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, too
Season
much
two
is
is
wrong with,
difficult to defend.
I mean,
Let's
one of the
go.
highlights, I will, I mean, Koshi, like I said, you're supposed to be defending this show overall, but, I mean, one of the highlights of season two for me was, and there are very few highlights, was, although the China arc was incredibly unnecessary, that Chinese dude actually outsmarted Lelouch. And that was actually an interesting like little thing to see. Then next episode is just going back to Chinese guy's useless and all he is a
Little
pawn
wires or
that
whatever.
can fight in that machine that sh you know like wheel like that funky looking nightmare frame that yeah, it has wires everywhere and okay, cool. I mean like next, please. I mean, like, it's, I mean, so yeah, I mean,
I think
every time
a lot
something
of the
interesting
problems you
seemed to
guys have with
happen, it
this,
just
and I'm not saying it's
would
like good or bad
disappear
or anything,
instantly.
but
That's just like a lack of focus and a lack of
is
good
the fact
writing.
that there was just
So.
a lot going on. There are a lot of characters being introduced. And a lot of the former characters kind of fell by the wayside. And I think that's like the crux of a lot of the problems with season two. It's
I think
just
the
trying
executive
to.
meddling is the biggest problem with season two.
The what?
Executive meddling?
I don't know exactly what went on behind the scenes for season two, so I'm not 100% sure about that. But as far as. Okay, so I guess we covered the beginning of season two with the Rolo stuff, and we covered somewhat. Right, we covered most of it except for the very end, and this, and I think the end is one
We
of the,
covered a
I
lot of
guess,
season two,
the
actually,
biggest part of
just
the
talking about.
series for me because it's supposed to be what
Yeah,
brings
we haven't been
everything
talking
together
about
in
the
terms
end,
of
that's
all the
true.
little Gia's plot lines and all the little mysterious things that they kind of tried to hook you with in the first episode, and they gave you tidbits of throughout the series. Like the magical origins of everything going on in the show. And I guess you expect me to defend it, but unfortunately, I think the way they handled all the supernatural elements of the show by the end was pretty poor. And I was.
Oh, I almost forgot to bring up just real quick. I mean, speaking of the mystical stuff, I mean,
I don't
C2,
remember
remember
what
she
the
lost
point
her
of that
memories for a
was.
couple of episodes. Did anyone else find that just completely unnecessary and just contrived? Because I sure did. So.
Right.
Exactly. You
I
know,
don't know.
I mean,
Like,
you
most of
can't
these bad
even
things that
remember
you're
the point of
mentioning,
it. It's
I
just like
kind
it
of
shouldn't
like
be even
give
like
some
in the
sort
show in
of
the first place.
reason why they happened or whatever. And it may not, like, defendable or undefendable, there's a reason. And I can't even remember the reason for that one, so I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I can't say anything about that. It just seemed like a little moment in the scene, like a little blip. And there's not really a reason for it to happen, but it happened and then it went and then everyone moved on.
Just like I said, it's just contrived. It's just, you know, a for another forced,
Right.
you know, writers injecting forced drama slash, you know, there's a lot of injecting of they try to force a lot of things, is my point. And you like I said, this was my big problem with the latter half of season one. It's just they tried forcing a lot of stuff that didn't make sense. It was
Right.
completely
I
unnecessary, and it's
think
just like
a lot of the
why even
revelations, for
bother?
example,
So,
Anya
but
being
yeah, continuing along
Marianne
with the
Lelouch's
supernatural stuff
mother,
about
like her
Tokios.
consciousness, I guess, was there the entire time, and she was like a bad guy the entire time or whatever. I don't know. I felt that like that was really dumb, and they had to grasp for straws near the end because they spent so much of the season talking about nothing, and they realized that they had all this shit they had to get through, and they had to do it fast. So they kind of pushed through a lot of it by the end.
And then after that episode ended, they kind of dropped that plot line.
Right, the whole like the Emperor of
Mystic
Britain thing.
Jupiter stuff. I don't even remember
Yeah,
anything about that.
exactly. I think that I hated that stuff. I think that was like the worst part of the show. And I think I guess it could have been stronger had it been like well foreshadowed throughout the show or like dealt with more slowly instead of all at once. But I don't know, I wasn't a big fan of that. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
No, I agree completely. It's just like, hey, I mean, it's just like everyone's like doing their own thing. Then all of a sudden, hey, here's Marianne. You know, everyone thought she was dead, but surprise, she's alive. You know, and alive and kicking, and she's conspiring with Charles to take the sword of Akashi or whatever and remake the world, so there's no problems. A-okay, everything's gonna be A-okay. And then, you know, a big part of, like I said, season two is just like there's the character motives are completely out of whack, and then Lelouch, more so than ever, is just shows to be an idiot, and he goes all he has so many rants in season two that don't make sense most of the time. Like that whole rant when he's talking with Charles is he's just like, you neglected, you know, me and Nunnally while you guys imagined in your dream world. And he's just like, you know, that whole speech was just I felt was so terrible and forced. He's just like I just was like, that's just such a lack of like you said, they didn't set it
Yep.
up well, so they're just like, oh shit, what are we gonna do to make some like forced drama? Oh here, Lelouch, just go on your tangent about being abandoned and everything's gonna be okay, you know? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just like his whole point of that speech was like, you abandoned us, therefore you're evil, so I'm gonna stop you by geosing the world, you know, geosing the gods or whatever. And it's just like, okay, I mean, is it that
Oh,
easy, really?
I
I mean,
just
it's just
remembered that.
like. And then you can't forget the infamous Charles Rocket. He's just like, ah, Lelouch, and he leaps and he like flies like Superman. And it's just like, I face palmed there. Even the first time I watched it, I was just like, I chuckled. I'm just like, wow, this is beyond stupid. But I mean, like, it's stupid in a good way, I guess. I don't know. But it was just so terrible. I was just like, I can't believe they just did that. So,
Yeah,
and then, you know,
like
C2
there's,
at the last minute
yeah.
goes, all you care about is yourself. You never
Okay,
cared
well,
about
the
me. It's
reason I
like, we
brought
had
that up,
no
I just
hint of
wanted to
that
get that out of the way
ever
to talk
until
about the
just
actual
now, you
ending of the
know?
show,
It's
the
just
Zero
like.
Requiem stuff, which I enjoyed. And I'm just gonna throw that out there, then you guys can throw your criticisms at it or whatever, and I'll see what to make of them. But
I forgot what that was. That was the ending, right? Oh.
that was like the big plan for like the entire show where
Go ahead,
Suzaku would kill
Greg. I mean,
Lelouch
I
and
mean, oh,
Britannia,
that
I
was
mean,
just
would
where they
get,
conspired,
you
him
know,
and
the new Emperor.
Suzaku,
I guess not
to.
only as the new Empress or whatever.
I thought that was actually pretty all right, compared to everything else.
Okay, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's if I don't have anything bad to say about it, so I don't really have much to say
That's
about it
it.
either.
That's it. This is. I mean, in my mind, like, I had no idea where it was going to begin with all the mess that was happening. So, needless to say, it's just like, I don't know what else they could have done because it was such a mess, anyways. It's just like, I mean, for the most part, I mean, like, I don't really have a complaint. It's just like, this is just my, philosophy on life in general and with a lot of my critiques of the Gundam shows. It's just like, the philosophy
Well,
behind it is
I don't think
stupid.
that was
I
the
mean, like,
point of it as
oh,
much as
everyone's gonna hate this one
he was just trying
person,
to
and
rip
when he
down
goes
the old
away, there'll be no
system.
more hate.
And
It's
I
just like,
think by getting rid of the
I
figurehead
mean,
of like the old system, Lelouch or Zero or whatever, they could try to bring in something new, good or bad. It's going to be something new at least. And I think that was the point of it.
well, he is a scapegoat.
Yeah, Zero is supposed to be the scapegoat the entire time. Anyway, I don't know, I really enjoyed how they handled that. Surprisingly, because their execution track record is not really strong, but I thought the scenes leading up to that and then the scenes, following through with that, I thought they were really strong, and I think the highlight of season two for me.
I mean, I will say, like, the final battle itself was just beam spam. The best part of that final battle was when Lelouch and when Suzaku and Colin went to the traditional grounds, roller skating style of fighting. That was the most interesting fight in all of season two, by far. I mean, like, because up to that point, it was just like, we're going to shoot our lasers at each other, and whoever's laser is more powerful will win. So, I mean, I just wanted to point that out. Like, I wish, like I said, they totally moved away about what made all the action interesting in season one, and they finally decided to go back to it at the very, very end of season two for like, it was only like 2 minutes, but I mean, it was just like, that was like the best action by far, because everything else was just beam spam or shooting giant missiles at each other and hoping for the best. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just a, every character was present in that battle who wasn't dead. I mean, it's just like, yeah, Jeremiah
Orange.
fighting Anya, and that was kind of amusing, I guess. I mean, just like, oh, I'm Jeremiah Gottwald, and I'm badass or whatever. So,
Yeah.
yeah, Agent Orange or whatever his name is. I mean, I thought Jeremiah was actually like one of the more interesting characters in season two. Like, I mean, though, I think the
Oh,
way they handled that plot twist, quote unquote, when he's just like, I was scheduled to protect. I mean, I was stationed to protect your mother when she died, so. When he's getting like tortured to death by those machines, it's just like, and Lelouch's like, I can use you. Yes. And it's just like,
right.
I mean, it was stupid, but I mean, for me, it was just like, okay. I mean, I still kind of enjoyed that moment because everything else, like I said, was terrible. So, but yeah,
There's a
Jeremiah
lot
got
of
a little screen time at the end. And, but like, I mean, just like Toto and Ogi, they were like nowhere to be seen. Most of the time, it was just like, they were just sitting around the round table, and they're just like, wait, Lelouch is a bad guy? All right. And then most of their scenes were
Yeah,
in
like
the
I said, I think
bridge, and they're just like,
a
what
lot of
is
the
Lelouch up
Japanese
to?
parts of
We
the
have to
show
stop
were
Lelouch.
just
It's
a
just
lot of
like,
wasted potential going into season two.
okay, it's just like
Everything about Japan.
boring.
But I don't know, I just thought the ending and how they handled it, I thought the moment where Suzaku killed Lelouch, or the moment where like Suzaku told or Lelouch told Suzaku the plan, I thought those were really strong moments and I enjoyed them a lot. So the way I see the show is like I enjoyed part one. There were some faults with part one, but overall, I enjoyed part one and like the themes in part one. And then like there's part two, which I consider like everything up to the Zero Requiem kind of filler. And then the Zero Requiem happened, and that's like the direct continuation of part one to me. And then that's it. Like I thought that was good. That's my thoughts of the series. I kind of ignore 90% of part two. Yeah, I understand that there's a
Yeah.
lot of faults with it, but there are still things that I enjoyed a lot from it.
I
So
mean,
that's my defense
that's
of
like a
it.
big chunk of the entire
I think
show, though,
ultimately,
so.
though, the meta, I think the chief benefit, like contribution Code Geass had was when it was airing, and how it got the whole anime community, together, speculating and talking about it. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the anime community so like dedicated to one show. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
if at the very least it was very fun seeing people come up with all these crazy theories and stuff. Like I remember one
Oh yeah,
theory
they were
where Anya
all
was
trying
actually
to
like his
speculate the
sister,
ending.
and Nunnally was like a fake or something, and it was
I
just all
think
crazy
all the
stuff.
things that like could have happened, considering like the stuff they came up with for that show,
Yeah.
it's like not that far-fetched.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, come on. I mean, I can name five
And
things off
she
the top of my head
won't.
that just randomly happened at the very end of season two. It's just like Nunnally gets her eyesight back,
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
like
well.
at the like precise moment. It's just like, yeah, and it. No, she doesn't walk. She is physically impaired, but it's like the Gyas wears off at like the best time possible, and she can like see again. I mean, come on. It's just like why? You know? It's just like. You know, and then what's his face? The leader of the Knights Errant magically gets like you he reveals his Gyas, and then 2 seconds later he dies. So, I mean, it's just like, okay. I mean, it's just like, why? You
But I
know,
think
it's just like, I mean,
ultimately, Code Geass is
there's
very
no,
important for the community because it was
point in
pretty
that, I
much the largest
guess.
thing that the
And
community's ever had. I mean, the community doesn't really ever have anything like the Oscars or anything like that. So I think it was really beneficial for the community at large to have a show of this caliber because it brought everybody together. Well, it did, but like I don't think yeah.
or
But I don't think you'll
just
ever come
created a
across
lot
a
of
show just like Code
debate,
Geass
that's
ever
for sure.
again
I
in
think,
terms
well,
of
I think, like
one of
I
those
said,
shows where
now I think
everyone
more
has
so
an opinion
now than
about
ever,
it.
it's
Yeah,
more
exactly.
debated, but. I think it was the first one, too, because when I think about like, for me, 2007 was kind of like the turning
Yeah.
point in kind of like the anime. Slash community slash industry, because that's when moe got introduced as well. So like a lot of focus started shifting in that year. I mean, 2007 for me was the last year that a great anime came out. Oh, I take that back. There's one other one that I think, two others, excuse me, that I think have been just worthy of consideration of being amazing. But 2007 was TTGL. But so that to me was one of the last, great ones. But
Right.
what's the other one? And the other one is Space Battleship Yamato 2199, the reboot that came out last year, which is stellar, extremely good. But that's besides the point. I mean, ever since then, it's just like it's only been like either it's been extremely polarizing popular anime that have come out since then, like. That's it. It's just like nothing like great, like something that's like, wow, this show is amazing. Like it will stand the test of time and be considered a masterpiece when it's all said and done. Code Geass to me started the trend of let's create the most flashiest thing possible and throw it out there for the fans to eat up, and let's sell a bunch of merchandise and let's make a ton of money. And let's rinse and repeat the cycle. I mean, that's it definitely has historical
But that has nothing to
significance,
do with
what
its
Greg
overall
and you
quality
have
of
both said.
production. No.
It's historically significant in anime history, unfortunately. But
I guess one last thing I want to say. This isn't really related to like the plot or characters,
no, of
but
course not. I mean,
Callan's mech, the Gurren
yeah.
Mark II, is
So.
definitely like one of my favorite mecha designs from recent memory, I guess. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I really love that machine. I think it's really cool. Oh, the Galahad, or.
Well, real quick then, my favorite machine in that show was the leader of the Knights of the Round
I
machine
think I
that had that
ultimately
giant
liked
sword.
that one machine from
Yeah,
season
I
one
thought that one was the
the
coolest one,
best.
but
It was the one that
unfortunately,
Lelouch
it like got
piloted
two
with
whole episodes and then
Sawtooth.
was
Away?
never, and then
I
was
think so. I
destroyed.
forgot what it was called,
So,
though. Yeah.
yeah, in season two. yeah.
Oh yeah, the Gawain. It was that giant one, and it got turned into the Shinkido later. Yeah. Well, okay, so that's it for Code Geass. We'll be doing actually a couple more mechas in the future. Like, oh, I know on the plate is Eureka 7, so you guys can look forward to that if you want some more mecha talk slash opinions or whatever.
All right.
So that's it for us here. So I hope you enjoyed this Code Geass podcast, and we'll see you later.